Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Beat. Whilst Manchester City and Liverpool were giving Arsenal a taste of what they are chasing this season, and Manchester United and Chelsea played out a turgid 1-1 draw, Mikel Arteta's side have been preparing for a tough trip to West Ham. The Hammers themselves were in action on Thursday night, losing 2-1 to Eintracht Frankfurt in the first leg of their Europa League semi-final. I'm Mark Manbryans from PA Media, and joining me today to look ahead to Sunday's clash at the London Stadium, I'm joined by Sam Dean of The Telegraph and The Athletic's Art de Roche. We'll also wrap things up in time on a tradition with a quickfire round of Guess the Gooner. Oh, it's been spoken about a lot about the benefits of a free week for managers to get their messages across and their tactics sharpened. And is it a massive advantage for Arsenal heading into this one that they've had a free week?
It's definitely an advantage. I wouldn't say it's major, just because there have been times this season where Arsenal have had that, say, free week, as you call it, and they go on to actually lose the game. And I think even as recently as, say, last week when they had Chelsea on the Wednesday night and Manchester United on the Saturday lunchtime, I know Mikel Arteta made quite a big deal about that a few weeks before those games came around. But when you look at it, Arsenal actually built off that momentum from the Chelsea game and took that into the Manchester United game on the Saturday. So I think there's almost, yes, there is an advantage to having that extra rest, if you call it that, but you actually have to show up and do your job on the weekend as well. So I think it kind of goes both ways.
It's been interesting this season that the accepted wisdom of you want time between games has kind of been challenged by quite a few managers now, partly because of COVID. It meant for some teams there'd be huge gaps between games, and Arsenal had that themselves in sort of January, February time when they didn't play for quite a long time. And it seems to be a lot of managers now are saying, well, actually, we do need some rhythm and some regularity to matches. And I do wonder how much that helped Arsenal last week, as you mentioned, Art, when they had Chelsea on the Wednesday, then United Saturday morning. Obviously, on paper and in theory, Arteta did not like that. But you look at the way they played and the way they started, especially against Man United, very quick, very sharp. And you do wonder if the fact they had played on Wednesday night and they were quite in a rhythm, I suppose is the phrase to put it, did work in their favour. So maybe a week off won't necessarily help. But when you look at West Ham and their exertions on Thursday night, I think you'd be pretty confident for Arsenal being in better shape.
And we'll talk about West Ham's Europa League game shortly, but we've already seen from the side David Moyes selected at Chelsea last weekend that he's prioritising reaching the final of that competition over arguably their end of the Premier League season. Do you expect the same on Sunday?
Yes. West Ham are now two games off being in the Champions League, which is obviously pretty incredible for them as a club, and is a testament to the excellent work that Moyes has done over the past 18 months or so, if not longer. And so understandably, I think they'll play a very heavily changed team again this weekend. I don't think last night's game against Frankfurt was enormously draining, as much perhaps say as an away trip might have been. But I still think when you look at their priorities, there will be quite a lot of changes. And someone like Kurt Zouma came back in yesterday, way ahead of schedule from his injury. And you wouldn't say he was rushed back, but he took a couple of knocks during the game as well and had to get a bit of treatment. And evidently was not going to be fully fit, having not played for a while and having expected to be out for much longer. So I'd be very surprised if he played, for example, because I need to wrap him up in cotton wool again for next week. And West Ham are also without Craig Dawson and Issa Diop and Angelo Bonner. So they have no central defenders, which you think, in theory, should work in Arsenal's favour. But the thing is with Arsenal is that, you know, all this logic keeps popping up and suggesting they should, you know, win a game comfortably. Remember Everton, when Everton had lost like 9 games in a row, or whatever it was, and then Arsenal turn up and lose at the Goodison. So, yeah, you don't want to predict Arsenal because they're so crazy, but on paper, at least, this one does seem like a good time to play West Ham.
Don't want to predict Arsenal, but Art, I'm going to ask you to do exactly that. From from his perspective, from an Arsenal perspective, do you envisage a similar team, the same team, arguably, that started against Manchester United, or could there be a couple of changes?
I feel there'll be one change at right back, and the Quidditch player who was strutting his stuff at the carpet on his Nimbus 2000, lucky not to give away a penalty for a handball. I think Cedric is going to drop out to the bench for Tomiyasu. I don't know whether Tomiyasu would get 90 minutes. I guess that's also the benefit of having the 3 week. You actually get to almost build him up to this game for, what has it been, 8 days between the games. But yeah, I would imagine that Tomiyasu would slot back into the starting lineup, because even in the couple of minutes that he came on against Manchester United, you could just see the balance with him in the side compared to the chaos with Cedric and Nuno Tavares at fullback. So I think he'd be the one change for me. And I think I'd keep everything else the same.
I do wonder if Cedric might play at left back and he might give Tavares another break out the side, because I know he scored last week against Manchester United. We had quite another hairy afternoon, didn't he, at the Emirates? Again, probably should have conceded a penalty of his own. We did one and arguably could have had another. I've got four names written down here. Lacazette, Lokonga, Pepe, Martinelli. Not fancy any of them coming into the side?
Not Lacazette. I just feel you have to play Saka at the minute. Maybe Martinelli for Smith Rowe, considering West Ham are very limited on centre-backs at the minute. Whoever David Moyes puts there, is probably going to be quite shaky, I'd imagine. So if you have, say, Eddie Nketiah, Martin Ødegaard and Gabriel Martinelli pressing that back line, that could actually be quite good for Arsenal, just disrupting whoever is playing there as much as possible. So maybe Martinelli for Smith Rowe, that might be one that's tempting. But then I think other than that, I tried to keep it as the same as possible.
As a journalist who's not worth his salt, I've not got the stats to back this up, but my gut feeling is that he doesn't like playing Tavares and Martinelli together on the left. Maybe there's evidence to prove otherwise, but it feels like when Tavares starts, Smith Rowe generally starts as well. And he's spoken before about partnerships in the team and building those. And I think that's one where he sees Smith Rowe as coming in into midfield and sort of tucking in, whereas Nuno would overlap. But obviously, if you have Martinelli and Nuno, they might both try and charge around like nutters in the same position. So I'd be surprised if Martinelli came in and Nuno started. But I do absolutely share your view, Art, that against a team with no defenders or with fullbacks playing at centre-back, it does make sense to get Martinelli running in behind and testing that back line as often as possible.
I think the point about the relationship is quite a good one, because last season when Kieran Tierney was injured, I remember asking Arteta about Martinelli at that left wing, and he brought up, I think completely off his own back, he brought up Granit Xhaka playing at left back and how that was a good kind of match for Martinelli, because obviously at that time Xhaka never really overlaps. He's very much more reserved at left back. And then that just gives Martinelli the room to either go around the outside or go through the inside if he wants to. So I think that's definitely something that, there's, as you said, there's probably numbers and stats to back that up, but I think it's definitely that something that Arteta kind of thinks about going into these games.
If you could have, like, you know, remember Player Cam on Sky? It's a long time ago now, Player Cam. But if you could have Player Cam on one Arsenal player, who do you think it would be? And what? Explain why it's Nuno Tavares.
To be fair, Arsenal did a Saka one from the United game. Tavares would be interesting. I think he would just be like pure entertainment from like... So I was chatting with someone a couple of days ago who's a little bit older than I am. And I don't know if you watched Sonic the Hedgehog when you were younger, Sam.
I'm afraid not, mate.
There's a character in Sonic called Dr. Eggman, and he his ultimate goal is to basically find all the Chaos Emeralds. And I said that is Nuno Tavares. He's after every single Chaos Emerald that's out there. But if we want to go with a more, I guess, mainstream chaos kind of theory, then we can go with the Joker from the Dark Knight, the agent of chaos.
We're having Eggman. Eggman is the one. It's going to stick.
Yeah, Mark knows. Yeah. Mark knows.
One of my favourite memories of this season was the home game against Newcastle, which I think was in November, October time. And Tavares played, and it was sort of during his quite promising early stint before the bad things happened. And if you remember the first half, he had like three or four shots, which typically for Nuno Tavares flew almost out of the Emirates. And there was a moment towards the end of the first half when he got the ball and sort of cut in on the right foot. And the crowd around us in the Emirates went, "Don't shoot," which has got to be the first time I've heard that in the crowd. It made me laugh so much. It kind of sums up the crazy entertainment provided by Nuno Tavares. I mean, if I was an Arsenal fan, I think I'd absolutely be terrified of him and everything he brings. But as a neutral, he is incredibly watchable.
I completely agree. I have to bring up,
guys, Sam, I'll come to you this one. I listed off those four names to Art there. And really, the one out of the four that none of us would expect to come into the side is Nicola Pepe. Obviously, there's stuff doing the rounds this week that there's talks to be had. There's a potential sale to be had during the summer. Is the proof in the pudding almost that at the crucial side time of the season, he's just a bit part player, isn't he? If that at times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty fair to say that ship has probably sailed now. Unless Saka gets an injury or suspension or whatever when he's going to need to come in. I wouldn't be surprised if Pepe does still contribute something meaningful this season. I can sort of envisage a key goal or turning the game off the bench, because we know he's a player who can cause problems for teams and you know, change the angle of the attack for Arsenal. But it's so clear that he is not part of the plans, and he has been so evidently usurped by Saka on that wing. I mean, I'd be very surprised if he's at Arsenal next season. But at the same time, he's on quite big money and he's not done a huge amount this season. So the list of buyers who are capable and willing to match his current wages, I would suggest, is quite limited, if not non-existent at the moment. So it would very much suit Arsenal if Pepe was to have a good final few games. But I can't see him playing anything more than a couple of games off the bench and a few minutes here or there. So I don't know what happens next. Perhaps a loan would make sense, but then his contract's running out and the value's just declining. But if he goes away on loan and has a good season somewhere in Serie A or France or wherever, even the Premier League, then they might get a bit of cash for him next summer. But yeah, I mean, also this, I mean, a slightly wider point briefly, but there's so much to do this summer. I mean, we made this point about Elneny and Nketiah. There's so much to do this summer. So many players they need to buy, gaps they need to fill. That there's, they're going to need to keep some of these lads. They can't just sell everyone because they can't go out and buy 12 players at once because it's not feasible. So there's probably an element that they are going to need someone who can fill in for Saka at one point. And if there are no buyers or no good options for Pepe, then, you know, that's you, Nico. Enjoy your time on the bench until Saka gets a knock.
Oh, is it? You're our master of the 23s, the under 23s. If Pepe was shipped out on loan, which I think Sam's spot on, I think that is probably the more likely option. Is there someone that could come in and play that second fiddle role to Saka that we haven't really seen or haven't really heard of?
I mean, Omari Hutchinson's the one that's been on the bench quite a few times in the Premier League, not made his senior debut yet, but I don't feel that Arteta would go that far at this stage in the season. I feel he's very much kind of got his players that he trusts and would like to kind of keep those guys firing. So if, say, Saka and Pepe got knocks, my mind would probably see Martinelli going out to that right, because I think he's proven this season that he can play on the right. I know that's something, me personally, I couldn't see it. I felt it was almost like an Aubameyang situation where there was just no real avenues for him to go down on the right. But I think this season he's shown that he can do that with his movement off the ball. And not just in terms of scoring goals, but he's shown that he can create from the right as well. He got the assist for Martin Ødegaard at Manchester United. So I think if it came down to it and Arsenal were without Saka and Pepe, I'd imagine it would be Martinelli off the right and Smith Rowe off the left. But I don't know, maybe that's just me being a bit too pessimistic.
looking ahead, but looking ahead to next season, this position is another classic example of why it's very hard for Arsenal to plan until they know where they're going to be. Theoretically, if they get Champions League, they're going to need someone experienced and with proven quality as sort of deputy or competition for Saka. If they get Europa League, they could probably say, Saka, you won't play in the group stage games, and we can play, try Hutchinson maybe, try Marcelo Flores here and there. Maybe Reece Nelson will be back. I mean, who knows where Reece Nelson will be at that point. So in that scenario, you could probably see Pepe being allowed to leave and saying, off you pop, see you later. But that's, it just kind of proves how it's all up in the air with the whole squad planning and everything. And I imagine it's quite frustrating for fans reading everything, sort of saying, we will decide in the summer for everyone. Every player, every contract, everything is we will decide in the summer. And I'm sure there's a degree of Arsenal saying that and Arteta saying that in public to avoid having to answer difficult questions. But it's probably true because they have to wait and see what the budget will be, where they're playing. I mean, if you play Europa League, six games, you can guarantee six games pretty much to Patino, give a few to Flores, maybe Niles might come back, who knows. You know, you could say to Elneny, for example, you'll play the Europa League games at least, the Carabao Cup games. If you get Champions League, you're not going to see Hutchinson playing, you're not going to see Balogun playing. So you're going to need someone else who's going to be better and more expensive.
Before we go on to Guest Aguna, Sam, you were at the London Stadium last night. You've covered plenty of West Ham's run to the last four of that competition. I'm sure all of that was in preparation for the moment you were asked to come on to the Arsenal beat and provide a dossier of information about West Ham. So the floor is yours. What should we expect from them on Sunday?
It's as sort of mentioned before, a very different West Ham to what it would have been perhaps 2 or 3 weeks ago, or if it wasn't sandwiched between Europa League games. I think the West Ham Arsenal will see will probably be quite heavily rotated, quite tired, and generally quite keen to just get out of there, which should suit Arsenal. But one thing that is certain is that West Ham are a pretty fiercely competitive team. They're organised, they're structured, they're physical, they're good from set pieces, and they will cause problems. I mean, you know, they made a lot of changes for the game against Chelsea last weekend, as you said, and they held on to what, the 90th minute at 0-0, and they conceded a late goal to Christian Pulisic. So that's an indication of the sort of depth they have and the sort of collective strength of their structure. So it definitely will not be easy, but I think it will be much easier than it would have been without the Europa League situation going on. I was there last night. They actually didn't... the atmosphere was brilliant before the game, and they had a lead DJ was there and flamethrowers and a pre-match light show. And they've really made Thursday nights fun this year compared to when Arsenal and Tottenham host the Europa League games, and it's generally pretty flat. Art shaking his head, but you know
that's only because there were no fans. It's all behind closed doors.
You know, Arsenal have been Europa League for like 5 years now. Last year wasn't the first year, mate. So yeah, West Ham have loved it basically, and the crowd were up for it massively, and then Frankfurt scored after 48 seconds and the whole thing went pretty flat. They did okay to get back into it, and there's, I mean, Darren Bowen is just absolutely on fire at the moment. He's a real threat, and if it is Nuno Tavares or Cedric or whoever plays left back and Bowen plays, that is an area of concern, I would suggest, for Arsenal. But yeah, they lacked a bit of spark last night. They sort of got into promising positions and then played the wrong pass at the wrong time, and a lot of half chances weren't turned into proper chances, and Moyes was not happy with that afterwards, understandably. Yeah, I just think their minds are going to be so understandably fixated on the second leg next week. That prize for them is massive, not just winning a European trophy, but the Champions League is two games away. And I wonder, you know, if Arsenal could swap their position for West Ham's right now, you know, second leg and then a final Europa League, or his remaining few games in the Premier League going head to head with Tottenham. I wonder which one Arsenal would rather be in the hunt for the Champions League. Yeah. I don't know really, but I suspect Arsenal would quite like to be in West Ham's position with two games to go and then you claim it. But we don't know. But yeah, no, a tough game, but not as tough as usual, I would say.
Okay, just what we wanted to hear. Kaya smashed the record for the quickest ever guess the Gooner last time out, when his tactic of always guessing Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain finally came to fruition. Just for those new listeners, what we're going to do is I'm going to read out a list of clues that link to an Arsenal player, past or present, and it's up to Sam and Art to shout out when they think they know who it is. They'll get 10 points if they get it right with their first guess, 9 with their second guess, and so on and so forth. We're wrapping this up fairly soon in terms of it with the end of the season, so we'll have our second compilation of the Guess the Gooners and our final league table for the season, lads. So do make sure you answer well. Let's play Guess the Gooner.
Sebastian Scalacci.
Oh, shall I take points off it there, do you think? Should we lose?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah. Final answer, I heard.
Yeah. He thought he was being funny. He's lost a point straight away. Here we go. I never won a trophy with Arsenal despite making 2 cup finals. I scored 11 goals in 153 appearances for Arsenal. I have won... Art de Roche.
Abu Diaby.
Incorrect. I have won the FIFA Club World Cup. I also won domestic trophies in the other two countries I played in professionally besides England.
Can you say he lost in 2 finals for Arsenal?
He did.
Okay.
I made my Arsenal debut as a substitute in December 2006 in a 1-0 loss at Sheffield United.
Sam.
Yes.
Is it Johan Giroud?
It is not. I then had to wait almost a year to make my first Premier League start, appearing mostly in the League Cup during that time. I love having Art on this because some people will be able to hear his expression. His I don't even know what the word is. Just his anguish almost. But being able to see it is a completely different level.
It's really annoying because as soon as he said the first clue, I knew the kind of date range. So,
I'm confused by this. What's the second? It's obviously the 2011 League Cup final.
I know the other one, but I'm not going to say it.
I'm trying to think where the other final was in that period.
Here we go. I scored the decisive penalty in a shootout win over Roma in a Champions League tie.
Art.
Danielson.
It is Danielson.
No, I was going to say Danielson. Review. I actually was going to say Danielson.
I'll have to listen back to the tape.
Yeah, listen to the tape. Listen to the tape.
Genuinely, well, I swear on all that is holy in the world, I was going to say Danielson.
Well, I'll jump on at the end once I've listened to it all and let the listeners know guys know who got the points there.
Oh my God.
Just for those at home, the rest of the clues were, upon signing for Arsenal, Arsene Wenger described me as a little bit between Thomas Rosicky and Gilberto Silva. Safe to say, never really went on to match those expectations. In 2011, I returned to my first club on loan before signing for them permanently 2 years later. And that club was Sao Paulo, which is where I hope you'd have all been able to get that. I mean, that is controversial. That's a photo finish and our first ever. I mean,
the other cup final was the 2007 Carling Cup.
They were both Chelsea League Cup 2-1. Finals.
Yeah.
They,
yeah,
correct.
That's so, the Walcott goal.
Yeah, Diaby assist.
Art, honestly, did you hear me say my name before you said yours?
No, I heard the clue and I said Art straight away.
Now, guys, what's going to happen? You're about to both leave because you've got lives to live. I don't, so I'll be editing this together shortly and I will include at the end with a little drum roll exactly who's got the points this time out. And you can, I'll wait for the WhatsApp abuse once you've listened back. And
I'm scared. I'm scared.
It gives you two a reason to listen back to the podcast.
I just want to make very clear that I love Guess Laguna, but I don't want it so much that I cheat. I just don't. So I really am not lying about the Danielson thing. I was going to say Danielson.
Well, I mean, I can't say I wouldn't cheat to win. I might cheat to win, but... I'll be fine with whatever the evidence throws up.
You're just like Dr. Eggman.
Or Wayne Rooney in his doc.
Ooh.
Go watch it.
Right. And on that bombshell, guys, which is teeing up yet another bombshell, thank you, Art. Thank you, Sam, for joining me today. We're back next Tuesday to look back on what happens at West Ham, what he's done to Arsenal's Champions League hopes. If Elneny gets man of the match again, just so join us then for all of those discussions and more. And insert here who won the quiz. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye. I'm sure you've stayed on listening with bated breath to find out who will be awarded the Guest Laguna points this week. I've listened over and over again. I've debated it. I've played it to my dog. I'll play it slowed down for you after I've told you that I've awarded the points to Art de Roche. I think there is an before a Sam from Sam Dean. And I think they say it at basically the same millisecond. So the fact Art then carried on shouting his own name before getting it right, I think deems that he gets the point. So well done to Art. You can all live the rest of your lives happy in the knowledge that that was solved. Stay safe.